Welcome to the Bucky Beeman Audio Adventure. I am here late on a Tuesday. It is almost 9 p.m. Central. And what time is it in Mountain Time?
Looking at 7:55 p.m. down here.
Awesome. I am excited, super excited, because I was watching Gary Vee, who I watch a little bit too much. And all of a sudden, this guy came on his podcast, and he was asking smart questions. And I don't know if it was the questions or I don't know if it was the business he shared about, but something made me just dig into whoever the person was on the other line. And it came across the person that is my guest this evening. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Ethan Cisneros. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. It's where I'm living right now. It's where I run my business, Thirst Drinks. We're a destination for drinks and treats. So we've got a few locations here in the Salt Lake Valley. We do catering. We're super into communication with our customers and staying super relevant in that way. And I have a lot of fun.
How old are you, Ethan?
I'm 22.
That's awesome. How'd you get your start in entrepreneur world? When did it all begin?
My start in entrepreneur world. So it obviously began early. I wouldn't say that I was like the entrepreneur kid, you know, right from the get out. But I was always a really hard worker and I liked to make money, and those things just kind of came together really nice. So earliest on, it was first kind of legitimate business was a lawn mowing business. 10, 11 years old, me and my buddy are pushing our lawnmowers a couple miles to go get to our first house. We convinced someone to pay us $20 to mow their lawn. And that kind of just grew and grew and grew over a few years. And we built a pretty big lawn mowing company. Did a couple other side little businesses, but kind of my first bigger step was I opened a shaved ice business when I was 16 years old. So I got my hands on a snow cone, like a little building, little mini building, and it was seasonal. So every summer I hired employees, I did marketing, I learned how to do inventory and taxes and everything like that. So I did that for a few years while I was in high school. Graduated high school, came to the University of Utah, and that's where Thirst kind of began. And so it's been a really fun ride. So here we are now.
Did you go to college?
I went to college for the last 4 years, 4.5 years. Haven't finished up quite yet. I've got my studies on hold right now as I'm opening a new store right now, which means I'm essentially doubling my staff, almost doubling the company's revenue, and just taking on a lot of new stuff. So I put the studies on hold. I'm 70% of the way done with them, so we'll see what I end up doing though.
And when you got into your first store, so how did this whole idea begin? Where did Thirst start?
Yeah, so soda shops. I don't like to refer to my company as a soda shop, but the idea, the trend of soda shops really started popping off in Utah. I think it really, really started popping off probably 6 years ago. And our competitors were in some surrounding cities and, you know, Southern Utah, and it hadn't quite made its way to the Salt Lake Valley yet. I was living in downtown Salt Lake and I was like, hey, we should bring this here. And so my business partner and I, kind of came together. We found a location right in the heart of downtown Salt Lake. And we're like, all right, let's do this. We kind of created the brand from nothing, talking everything from logos, our values, what we want the company to represent, how we're going to do all of our processes, our hiring, you know, what we're really trying to sell and everything in between, and kind of came up with Thirst. And so that was about 4 years ago. And that was our grand opening, probably almost 3.5 years ago. And since then we've gotten a location inside the Utah Jazz Arena. So we're open for all the jazz games, or we have like a permanent booth in there. And so it's pretty cool. We do, we have a little location up on the University of Utah campus. So actually where I went to school. And then we're opening one, a couple cities over in Mill Creek, Utah right now, another big brick and mortar drive through big dog. So we're opening our fourth store right now, and we've got a catering line. That's a really large part of our business too. And so, yeah.
Your first location, where'd you get the cash? Did you lease it? Did you buy it? Like, how did you?
So kind of interesting. Yeah. This is kind of the way Thirst started. And so take a little bit back. What I was saying was when I had those ice shacks, the ice shaved ice business, when I originally wanted to start the business, I'm like, cool. I was seeing the business kind of get really popular at other shaved ice shacks. I'm like, I want to do that. And so I didn't have $10,000 to buy one of these snow cone buildings, but I found one for sale. I went out up to go check it out, and I found this lady who was an entrepreneur. She owned a bakery, and we just really started to hit it off. And I was like, hey, look, to be honest with you, I don't have the money here. I don't have 10 grand to buy your snow cone shack, but I have a really good business plan. And like, if you'd ever be interested, I'd love to go into business with you. And she's like, that would be awesome. And so one thing led to another. I ran the snow cone shacks. She was kind of basically a silent partner. And sorry, I shopped someone.
Oscar, let's hear you. Let's hear you into that customer call. Maybe they're calling for catering.
Yeah. Should we go live on a sales call really quick? Let's do it. I can't remember what I was saying, but I have this business plan. And she's like, awesome. So we went into the business together, and then she kind of watched me work really hard over those couple years and grew the snow cone shack really big. She had just sold a house at the time we were starting Thirst. And so, she was like, hey, I've watched you work really hard. I've got some money right now. And so we invested into that first location, this first location that I'm in right now. And, yeah.
Did you buy it or lease it?
Lease it.
Nice. And do you today?
We still lease it. Yeah, we still lease it. We actually just renewed our lease here.
How about I'm in commercial real estate, so that's where I'm going down some rabbit holes. So how about your new location? Did you buy it or lease it?
We leased that one as well on a 10-year lease.
Wow, so that's a commitment.
We're in for the long run, yeah. The owners helped us out kind of getting it exactly the way we wanted it. So that was a huge perk. It's also in a location that is just super in our demographic. We already have customers traveling from that area. And so we're super excited about it.
So in the snow cone days, was social media even a thing, or how did you build your sales in the snow cone days versus how you build your sales today?
Yeah. And I say this all the time, everything about how I've built businesses from mowing lawns to snow cone shacks to what I'm doing at Thirst today, the marketing has always been different. And so as much as people, you know, see me and my business all over Instagram, super excited and posting a lot and having all these strategies, you know, it's not the only strategy that we have. And so the snow cone shack was really built on kind of guerrilla marketing. At the time, it was really when Instagram was just starting, but it was a lot of Facebook. And so we were definitely doing Instagram and Facebook, but really like flyers on every door, you know, going to events, putting out, you know, A-frame signs on the corner of the streets. It was really like hardcore marketing in that way. And so I kind of learned some of the basics of how to get people into the door, giving out coupons, seeing how they react to that, holding events, having a grand opening. Can you team up with other businesses? And so real guerrilla efforts, which I still believe are like the hardcore tactics that we go by at Thirst today, despite what people might see from the outside. And so I really learned some of the hardcore guerrilla marketing tactics then. Transitioning into what we do today at Thirst, we're all over every social media platform. We have everything from an email strategy to a TikTok strategy to a texting strategy to, you know, flyers going out on all the cars at the, you know, the surrounding Target and Costco. And so one of our strengths is I think we're super well-rounded. And if you'll notice, we like to just communicate with our customers. I think what I've kind of learned over the years growing my little businesses into my bigger business today is it's all about your ability to communicate with your customer. And so whether we're doing that with a flyer, whether we're doing that on Facebook, whether we're doing that on TikTok, or we're literally just texting you, the ability to communicate is your ability to sell. And so we're really trying to glorify our communication platforms here at Thirst. So one thing we're really hot on right now is we're just asking our customers to text us. We just want them to text us. And we're not even clarifying, you know, what that's about. I'm sure a lot of you, and we connected through Gary Vee, and so you've seen influencers like him asking, trying to build a text community. I haven't seen a lot of brands do it yet, much less some smaller restaurants like mine, but I think it's going to be a strategy that a lot of people are going to start picking up. Whether it's a question for them, you know, about one of our products or something's in stock or, you know, a catering service or something like that. We just want to be able to communicate with them, and we want them to feel comfortable communicating. So.
And the amazing thing that you just shared is I feel like if we rewind the clock, let's say 30 years, that ability to communicate at mass quantity through so many different channels didn't exist. And because of you tapping into those communication channels and not only working it yourself, but the thing I applaud you at doing is empowering your employees to also be a part of that communication is leading to your sales. increasing and that relationship being built with your customer. It's really impressive to watch.
Yeah, it's been a new strategy of mine that I'm trying to roll out. But like I was saying, it's all about the communication, like you're saying. I asked my managers of my company, I made a little video about it, but I asked my managers, it's been a few months now at least, to make a separate Instagram account for themselves. The main purpose of it is for them to engage with the customers that they're doing business with at Thirst. We're not asking them to put anything personal out on their account. We're not. I told them you can literally just have your first name on there. You don't even have to be posting. But it is a tool for us to go in and do like authentic community management. And so they're going in, and my catering manager, for example, the Thirst will post about, you know, an event that we did, and she'll go in and comment and mention the person that we worked with and be like, hey, it was really great to work with you. And, you know, it was awesome because of this and this. Or, you know, one of my assistant managers at the store being like, hey, we have a fresh baked thing going on right now. And so it's just another way they can communicate. And we're kind of about communication. We're also about authenticity. And so we like to be super authentic with our customers, you know, just having them text us or having them having us reply to every comment, or, you know, having my employees have their own Thirst branded account. And so it's just about authenticity. We're just trying to connect with them. We're just trying to communicate with them. So
yeah, that is great. Your menu, from what I can tell from afar, so my father has a little drive-through business. He does burgers, fries, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, pop, and ice cream sandwiches. Very simple. Your menu from afar looks complicated. You got a lot going on in those stores.
We actually, I actually think it's quite simple, you know, and so it's hard to understand, you know, if you've never been to the concept. And I try to be empathetic to that. But basically what it is, to dumb it down, is literally drinks and a few treats. Mm. And so basically it's the way I explain our menu is any type of drink, lemonade, tea, soda, you can imagine, with flavors, fruits, creams put into them. And then we pair that just with a few simple treats. So sugar cookies, pretzel bites, cinnamon rolls, basic treats like that. And so how the drinks work is you can either choose from like a combination that we make for you. So like Dr. Pepper with raspberry and cream is really popular. That's our most popular one. And we name all of our most popular. So you can, that one's called the Dr. McCreamy. So you could choose like a Dr. McCreamy, or you could build your own. You could just do like a Sprite with cherry or a Coke with vanilla. So we try to keep it as simple as possible. We try to not to overcomplicate the menu, but we do try to keep things exciting. And so if you follow us closely, you'll notice every single weekend, we do a new weekend feature that we call it. And it's just a way for us to kind of keep things exciting for our customers. It's also a way that we can collaborate with other local businesses. So basically we feature a different business's menu item on our menu every Friday and Saturday. Cool. And so it gives us a ton of things to post about throughout the week, because we're promoting that product. Hey, this weekend we're going to have, you know, churros from the local churro company. And we're cross-promoting that churro company. They're cross-promoting their product being at Thirst. We're going to make money selling a bunch of them on the weekend. It's just great exposure all around. And so weekend features have been a big thing for us, trying to keep things exciting. But we do try to keep our menu as simple as possible. And I think once you kind of get a hold of the concept, it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What are some of the struggles? Let's get into the dirt a little bit. What are some of the struggles of being a 22-year-old entrepreneur, learning with boots on the ground, figuring out how to hire, how to fire, how to change, how to, you know, just build a business? It's there's no textbook out there for you to just open and learn what you're learning.
No, there isn't. I think when I think of the struggles, I mean, it's so hard to talk about because I have so much fun. But I mean, not gonna lie, like I've been through it recently. Like the company's growing really fast. And, you know, I think every business owner, entrepreneur, probably yourself, would say like, it gets quite lonely, you know, like it really is lonely just to come up with every solution, you know, and know that like, there's no place to like, you know, if you don't come up with a solution, it basically means your employees that are, you know, supporting their lives on your salary, that they're not going to get paid, that the company's, you know, you have all these bills that are always coming in. So, you know, it can get really intense, I'm sure, as you know, and everyone will say. Yeah, I would say that's one of the struggles for all, like, the, it's awesome to be a 22-year-old entrepreneur, or, you know, a young entrepreneur, and like all the success is doing well. No one actually knows what's going on in the back end, you know, how much money, like people don't, I mean, you know this, people don't understand, like, just because your business looks busy and it looks like you're doing well, one, doesn't mean that the bottom line's great, and two, doesn't mean that it's always been great, you know, and that's, both of the cases are for me, like, our bottom line is great, but, like, we're super busy now. It hasn't always been the case, you know. I worked almost every shift in the whole company, you know, every open to close for the first year, you know, and I did that for several years after.
Did you ever sleep at the store?
What's that?
You ever sleep at the store?
Dang near, yeah. I mean, I have a couch up in the office. So, yeah.
Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it gets intense, as you know. And so for as fun as it is, and it is fun as it looks, it's as fun as it looks, but it can be not as fun as well.
and I think, you know, you hit on something Gary Vee talks about, is you are the firefighter. And, you know, firefighting can be like this adventure and this entire journey and just like the challenges that it can present itself. But at the same point, you feel it. A certain point, you're saving lives, and you know, it's not the greatest analogy, but it's like something bad could happen, that all this thing you worked for could be gone, and it's that pressure is real, you know. Having that on your shoulders is real pressure. I hear you there. I've lived it. I'm 29 and I've lived it, so I get it.
Yeah, man, 100%.
As you look to the future and kind of cast a vision, and let's just forget about the barriers, forget about limiting beliefs. Like, what's your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal? What's the vision, whether it's thirst or just yourself as an entrepreneur, or, you know, what do you want to foresee if you had the crystal ball and could make your decision tonight?
Yeah. A lot of people ask me, like, you know, what's the goal? What's the goal with thirst? What's the goal is of you as an entrepreneur? I never have an answer. And the way I like to think about it is, especially with thirst, especially with my current business, like, I don't make a long-term goal of, like, you know, I want to open all these locations, or I want to do, you know, ship my product online, or I want to double down on my catering services. The honest truth is, it changes every 6 months, you know, I mostly think that's my strength, you know, changing, having the ability to adapt, you know, the markets change, like real estate markets changing. And so the ability, or the, how smart it is for me to open a bunch of brick and mortars that's always going up and down, you know, platforms like Uber Eats, like how they're evolving and how my business is going to adapt into that. Could be a virtual kitchen in 2 years, you know, I don't know. And so I don't like to put an end goal on where that is, for my business. I would say for me, I like to think the same. I'm out here going hard. I'm out here having fun. I'm out here trying to build the biggest business I am, or as I can. I don't know if that's going to fully develop in this business. It might, or maybe it'll take some turns sometime soon, but I don't put a for sure cap on it, but I know I'm out here looking to go big, and I've always been that way. You know, I've always been that way since I was little, is just fully committed into whatever I'm doing. I've been fully committed into entrepreneurship. I may seem young, but I've been working a lot since I was 15. And,
I hear you. You're going to hit 29. And I think I said this recently. I was like, I feel 50 in like entrepreneur age. And it's, you know, it's like, you know, you get to a point where it's like an entrepreneur age, it's kind of like dog years. It's like,
yeah,
I kind of feel older than I am.
Yeah, 100%.
That's cool. Good for you. I guess, you know, I could keep going, but it is late and I don't want to take too much of your time. When you sit out here, I think the unique thing about the internet, and for us to recognize, is there's other people like us. They may not be right next door. I may not be able to walk right down the street and find them as easily in the community that you're in. But with the internet, there's other entrepreneurs out there that are on the grind, doing their thing, trying to figure this whole entrepreneurial game out. And as a result, it doesn't have to be as lonely as some may think. And so an example would be, Ethan, I brought up your name today to a pizza shop, third generation. They have one location. I said, you got to go check out Ethan. I brought up your name to a production company where it's two young guys, brothers, starting up, trying to grow. I'm like, you guys got to go check out Ethan, because if you can find out what he's doing and help share what he's doing with other companies, you're going to help their companies out. So just recognize, and this is for me as well, it's like we have to recognize that there are other entrepreneurs out there. So when we reach those dark, gloomy days of is this check going to actually bounce, or where am I going to get that next sale from that's going to lead to this darn thing? Like, recognize you're not the only one going through that journey. We're out here doing it. We tend to not want to share it, right? We tend to want to, especially to people around us in our close circle, because you're the leader. You can't show any of that storm.
It brings me to, people ask me a lot, like, what are you doing with this account? You know, and there's several answers to it, and I've addressed it before, but at Ethan From Thirst is, you know, very blunt, you know, about Ethan From Thirst, his business, you know, and I think I did that for a reason. You know, I wasn't looking to be like socially cool with this account. You know, I'm here for a few reasons. One is, I think it at some degree is going to lead to more sales for my business. You know, it's going to help build my brand. You know, I'm going to interact with my customers. It gives an inside view. It's content that my customers that are buying my products like. Yeah, that's one thing. The other thing is, I think it builds my personal brand. You know, I like to share what I'm doing. I like to, you know, put what I'm doing out there, because, you know, maybe I can connect with someone like we're connecting, or, you know, I can collaborate with someone where we can both get value. The last though is, you know, I thoroughly enjoy talking about business topics. You know, this is my whole life, you know, for, you know, it's the same for a lot of other people. And so I think it's interesting. You know, I think social media is an outlet where you can share unapologetically because of the follow button. You know, I mean, people are welcome to unfollow if they're not interested in business topics. But if they are, I'm going to be posting constant stories and constant posts about my thoughts about business. And, you know, they can choose to unfollow. And so I think that's the greatest part about all these social media platforms, is it's not just one main feed. You know, you can choose to stay in your feed and the people that you follow. And so I'm here to just talk about my business. You know, if it brings value to other people, like, you have no idea how good that feels. But if nothing else, it just brings value to me, because I like talking, you know, and I like having someone to talk to about business. And so it's good to hear that people are listening, and it makes me feel really good. So.
Yeah, no, keep it up. Keep posting. It's good stuff. So I really appreciate all that you're posting on there. If you guys haven't checked out Ethan, you need to go check him out. Where are you at online? Where can they find you, Ethan, on the different channels?
Yeah, just at Thirst Drinks is my business, and Ethan From Thirst, at Ethan From Thirst is my personal.
And that's on Instagram mainly, right?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you can TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, Ethan. I really appreciate your time tonight. I hope you get some rest and hit it hard again tomorrow.
Appreciate it, brother. We'll see you.